Shalom Aleichem Avosai. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January 30th. We're going to go to a new part of Makkah B'Patish. We finished the discussion for the past 3 days of the big machloket where the Makkah B'Patish is after you finish a kli, or it's even finishing up the kli. That's Jageta Machloket. We finished that yesterday, Baruch Hashem. I want to just talk about one small point, analyze it a little bit, and then we'll talk about halacha lemaisa of Makkah B'Patish. Because last semester, a number of people said on their finals that they wanted more halacha lemaisa, so I try to respond. I'm very happy that people talk about that. So that's what we'll do. So first of all, before we get to halacha lemaisa, there's an opinion regarding Makkah B'Patish. What does the word Makkah B'Patish mean? Hitting with a
hammer blow.
Hammer. So, as you can imagine, there's again, you see something interesting, that sometimes when you say a halacha, when a poskim make a say a halacha, they don't always say it. They just write whatever they're writing, and then from their words, you realize that they're saying something very important. I have a pen for you. The possibility of having a situation, you'll see, we're going to learn a halacha from just the way somebody wrote something, and he had an extra word, we end up learning a gigantic yesod in Makkah B'Patish. So, first of all, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch Harav?
The first
of all, Rebbe. He wrote the Sefer HaTanya, which you might have, if you ever lived with anyone in Chabad, they probably tried to learn with you.
Yeah.
And then Shulchan Aruch Harav is a fabulous, brilliant halachic work. And people think the Tanya is great, Shulchan Aruch Harav is probably 10 times better. I don't know. I never learned too much of Tanya, but Shulchan Aruch Harav, what he does is he goes to the Shulchan Aruch, it's like an early Mishnah Berurah. But through the way he phrases things, he answers a lot of questions that the Achronim have asked on the Shulchan Aruch, and he just phrases things a little bit differently, and thereby, like, without even realizing, answered this question of that Achron, this question of that Achron. So let's read a small piece of Shulchan Aruch Harav. He isn't even talking about Makkah B'Patish here. But as he talks about something, by the way, we're going to end up learning a very significant opinion in Makkah B'Patish. Did everyone saw the piece?
Yeah.
Should we read it, or should we just draw attention to the main point? What?
Skim over it a little bit.
Okay. Reuven, you want to read the Shulchan Aruch Harav?
אף על פי שפתיחת חלוש לכתחילה שאינו מקפיד לכתחו במידה כמו שכתוב בסימן שי"ד.
What does that mean?
What does what mean?
What you just read?
That since we're not so particular on what's on cutting the right size of a piece, that should be mutar lechatchila.
Right, so you just said you're allowed to tear on Shabbos, basically.
Right.
Interesting. Lechatchila, it's not even asked to drabban. If you don't have any intention to make something or to cut it in a certain
size,
me the right. However, Mikol Makom,
Im al yedei zeh metakno lishtamesh po ezeh tashmish, chayav mishum tikun kli.
Stop. What does that mean?
If that piece that you just teared, you just teared it because you want to use it for something.
Let's take an example. What's the situation where you tear something so that it could be used as is for a certain purpose?
Toilet paper.
So I wonder if toilet paper is going to be considered that you're making a kli. We could talk about bottle caps. We'll talk about that on Sunday, Monday. Towel. Yeah, let's say you have a big piece of fabric and you want to tear something so you have a towel. Yeah, that's a great example. Helen is always
on the money.
Yeah, that would be a great example.
Maybe if you want to use the
scarf. Yeah, but by a towel, you would also be careful about what size you find.
Let's say you don't have an exact. I think when we say bimida, I mean a specific size. Like if I tell you I want you to tell, we have to wash until they die, and we have a lot of guests.
Oh,
so put a towel. Does it matter if it's this big or this big or this big? A scarf. Okay, fine. So if you cut it to be a scarf, then you're not going to have a problem of tearing, but you have a different problem of. Go ahead, Reuven.
Tikkun keli is a
Tikkun Kli is another name for Makkeh B'Patish. Makkeh B'Patish has numerous kinds. Makkeh B'Patish is the Amalacha. Tikkun Kli is one kind of Makkeh B'Patish. Makkeh B'Patish is sometimes it's making a Kli. Like with Mita Shel Tarsiyim that we had a day, 2 days ago, making a Kli, finishing a Kli.
Wait.
Not according to Tosfos, but according to Rashi. Mita Shel Tarsiyim, putting together a Kli. You have the pieces and you put together an IKEA bed. That's Makkeh B'Patish.
So there's no discussion. Everyone agrees Tikkun Kli is told of Makkeh B'Patish.
I think so. I didn't research it yet, but I would think so.
Why would he told of? Be the same thing with Amalacha?
Perhaps. I'm not sure. So sometimes you have tikkun kli, meaning making a kli from scratch. Sometimes you have just finishing up a kli. That could also be Makkeh B'Patish, even though you're not making a whole kli. That's going to come into play when we talk about opening bottle caps on Shabbos. And these are different aspects of Makkeh B'Patish. And go ahead, and then he has three words. He has three words that he didn't have to add.
Chaya mishum tikkun kli im echad chol besaki.
So what do those three words tell me?
That only when you use a tool, in this case specifically a knife, to cut whatever you're cutting.
Why do you need a knife?
Because you're going to do a specific shape, no?
No. If it was a specific shape, a specific size, then it would be chaya for cutting. We're saying if it's a specific size, then it's chai for cutting. If it's not a specific size, then not chai for cutting. But if you're using it for a specific use, like a scarf or a towel, then you're going to be chai for something different, since it's not a size. That's chai
Makkeh B'Patish.
Exactly, Makkeh B'Patish. And what he's saying.
Only if you cut it with a tool, and if you don't cut it with a tool, it's asudurava.
Correct. So he just told us, just with these three extra words, a gigantic yesod in Hilchos Makkeh B'Patish, the Makkeh B'Patish only applies if you do it with a tool. With a knife. And this is a knife, but with a tool. I guess he got it from a very obvious place, because what is it called? Makkeh B'Patish. What was the Malach in the Mishkan? Like Tosfos said, we did Tosfos yesterday. They didn't have stones in the Mishkan or quarry in the Mishkan, but they had the smoothing out the bump in the of the metal. So that was Makkeh B'Patish. Oh, you're using a hammer to smooth it out, right? I guess there's no source that I know of, but
since when do we care how they made it? As long as it's the same purpose, the same result.
I'm with you on that. I agree. I guess he says, well, the rabbis in the Mishnah purposely called it Makkeh B'Patish, not Makkeh. Not, I don't know, Gemar Malacha. What were they trying to tell you by saying Makkeh B'Patish? Probably that it has to be with a patish, or some other sort of tool. It doesn't have to be a hammer, it could be a knife, it could be a this or that, but the point, I don't know. I think we all agree that Havara means lighting a fire, Kibui means extinguishing a fire, Bona means building, Sota means taking apart, Hotza means taking out. Makkeh B'Patish does not mean finishing a malacha. For some reason, the rabbis chose all 39 malachas, they got one, their language was a little weak. Makkeh B'Patish. We'd all agree to that, right? Makkeh B'Patish means bang with a hammer. There's nothing to do with Gemar Malacha. It happens to be that when you finish a certain kinds of building, the last thing they would happen to do would be bang a hammer. But it's not the hammer bang that's the Malacha. It's the Gemar Malacha that's the Malacha. So why the rabbis do that? Why the Tanaim do that? What?
Tearing the tzavar is not with a kli.
Givaldig! Givaldig, you heard Reuven's question? Reuven. You know who you were mechaving to? You know who you figured out who says?
Wait, what was his question?
Say it loudly.
Huh.
Say it loudly.
Yeah.
Say it loudly.
Not so proud now. the Gemara clearly says Makkeh B'Patish. The Tzavar is Makkeh B'Patish.
Okay,
maybe some proud, you know. Makkeh B'Patish.
And when you
cut the Tzavar, you're not necessarily, the Gemara doesn't necessarily say it. You have to use a knife to cut the tzavar. Maybe they're assuming that.
So what is the Shulchan Aruch Harav going to say? What you just said, yeah. Obviously, he's assuming that was with some kind of scissors.
Why by tzavar?
Makkeh B'Patish isn't with a kli?
A scissors is a kli?
No. You could be over Makkeh B'Patish.
I don't think they had scissors then.
I would have thought Makkeh B'Patish was putting the finishing touch. I have a Shulchan Aruch Harav who added three words, which told me that you're only chai for Makkeh B'Patish if the Gemara Malacha was done with a kli. He asks Reuven, what do you mean? But I have a Gemara
where
that's...
Where does it say Makom HaPatish in Shulchan
Aruch? Tikkun Kli. Tikkun Kli is Makom HaPatish. I'm telling you that, just from my other journeys throughout Shas. Which I haven't...
Throughout Shas? So when the Gemara says Tikkun Kli, the Gemara refers to Makom HaPatish.
Yeah, that's just another name for Makom. That's one of the kinds of Makom HaPatish.
That would have made
I'm sorry.
It more easy to understand.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, Tikkun Kli in Aramaic, sometimes how do you say Kli in Aramaic, anyone know?
Mana.
Mana, very good, yeah. Tikkun Mana, Tikkun Kli. Matakin Mana.
Why would we say Tikkun Kli and change from the Lashon of the Mishnah?
I guess there are different forms of Makom HaPatish, like I mentioned before. There's a form of Makom HaPatish which is involved in...
Makom HaPatish can only be done in Kelim.
Hold on, because I'm not sure what you mean. There are different forms of Makom HaPatish. One of them is Tikkun Kli. One of them is some other thing. So this is the more specific application, right? There's a student, and then there's a graduate student and an undergraduate student. And then there's, within an undergraduate student, there's a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. So Makom HaPatish means student. Tikkun Kli means undergraduate student. It's one specific kind of, it's a more specified form of Makom HaPatish. Not sure if it's a told, or maybe it's still the yeah. Okay, so what proof does he bring?
Gemara.
What Gemara does he bring? Hebrew actually brings Shulchan Aruch, but Simen Shin Chaf Beis. But you're right, obviously the Shulchan Aruch is bringing from Gemara. Gabi Ketimat Kisam. What's Ketimat Kisam? Did anyone know that?
Toothpicks.
Did we see the Gemara about that?
No.
Okay, it's Gemara Beitza. Do you have a Beitza Lamed Gimel? Was it on a? Beitza, Daf Lamed Gimel. Was it on any of the first or second? The second or third sheet? Second or third Marma Kamas? Oh, okay, Marma Kamas 3, second page.
Yeah, Lamed
Dalad. Yeah.
Oh man. Where? Where are you?
It's in Beitza.
It's in Beitza, Lamed Gimel Bet. Was it on a source sheet?
Yeah. Well, it was a typo. I think Rabbi Elman said that it was a typo. I think. Was it Lamed Gimel?
Wait, somebody check the second source sheet. I think it might be the second source sheet. Yeah.
What do you want me to check?
If I have the Gemara about the splinter for your toothpick.
Oh.
Beitza, Lamed something, Lamed something.
Yud Aleph?
You tell me. To talk about Kisam? Kosim Kisam?
I think we'll have another
Beitza.
Because we're talking about the tiles.
Just the tiles? I'm sorry, I thought I brought that Gemara in. Yes, there's an important Gemara, very important Gemara. Maybe it's on the bottom of 4? It's on the bottom of 5. It's in 4. Did anyone print out 4? You didn't print out 4, right? Okay. So on 4, I do give it to you. So the Gemara in Beitza says, I'll find it. It's on the next Marim Kamas sheet, the beginning of the next Marim Kamas sheet.
Jesse.
Which I think I sent to you. But, I said it's the first Marim Kamas of the new, it's the first set, the first Marim Kamas of the new packet that I just sent to you at around 9 o'clock this morning. It says you can't chip off, you can't like tear off little splinters from wood if you want to smell it, because that's like harvesting. But if you want to just break, and if you break off a splinter of wood to use as a toothpick, then you're chayv achatas. Rashi says, because you're making it into a kli. So he means makom HaPatish. So,
making it into a kli or tikkun kli? Like
you're making it into a kli,
like
as opposed to tikkun kli. Tikkun kli means you're fixing a kli.
Right.
Sometimes
like,
means making
it.
So you're making it into a kli. Right, you're making it into
so
a kli. Right, you have a chunk of wood.
It's not passing like Rashi. Especially if you use the lashon tikkun kli, because the kli is already made. You're just being talking the kli.
No, you have a block of wood, you chip off a piece, clean your teeth. So Rashi would hold that that's Makom HaPatish. So it works like Rashi. That Gemara is, if anything, a challenge to the other Rishonim.
I wasn't talking about that Gemara. I was talking about the Shulchan Aruch Rab. When the Shulchan Aruch Rab talks about Hatichas Talush. Yeah, but it's not a Kli until...
No, he's holding like Rashi, not like the other Rishonim. Yeah, you're cutting it. The cutting itself, which is making the thing, is considered makom patush. The other Rishonim, the Ran, the Meiri, say only after you would make the kli and then put on a finishing touch, then it would be.
Tikkun kli can also mean actually making a kli.
Correct. Well, then that only works for Rashi.
There's a kli Rashi against it also.
Tikkun kli is fixing a kli.
There's two kinds
that already exists, or is it making?
It's both. It's both. Makom patush would be both making a kli and.
Rashi's more broader.
Then the Ran, the Reim, and the Meiri, 100%. Correct.
Rabbi, there's another point that he goes against Rashi, though.
Hold on one second, please. I just wondered, he's bringing a proof that chipping off a piece of wood is with a kli. And that's his proof that you need to have a kli when you do Makom Patush. Wait, what is he trying to prove? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch Rav again. What is he trying to prove? Is he trying to prove that you need a kli? He's trying to prove that when you cut something not on a specific shape, not with a specific measurement, that it's considered that you're violating Makom Patush. Again, everyone look at the Shulchan Aruch Rav. He says, in the second line, whenever you're metaken it to use a specific tashmish, a specific use, yuchai mishum tikkun kli, if you make it with a knife. Like we see in Simon Shin Chaf Bet, where you chipped off a toothpick. When you chip off a toothpick, you don't see that there was a kli involved. You just see that you chipped off a splinter of wood from a block of wood. You don't see that there was a kli involved. You just see that you could, when you cut something from something else and making it, and with the intention of using it as a kli, like a toothpick, if you just wanted to get a splinter, you're playing around with your fingers. And you're playing with the block of wood, you're just, you know, just peeling it off, I don't know. So that's not tikkun kli. But if you're peeling it off so that you could get something to get that, you know, that roast beef out of your teeth, that would be tikkun kli. That would be chayv d'oraisa from makom patush. So that, you see, that if you're just breaking little things off with the intention of making kli, it's makom patush. You don't see from there that Gemara that you need to use a knife or some other kli. Anyway, I want to take your question in a minute, but could you think of the cases that we've done of makom patush? Reuven asked one question. Could you think of any other questions of cases of makom patush that could disprove this Shulchan Aruch Rav? Cases of makom patush that did not use a kli.
Then what?
Okay. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says it's only makom patush if you do the act with a
knife
or some other tool, a hammer.
Okay, we have one in the Gemara.
Go ahead.
The case of the how do you call it? The akofi
Great, that's the first thing that I wrote down in my notes. Also, right when you pick out the thorns, I don't think you're using any kli to pick out the thorns.
I mean, nowadays you have this.
A lint roller.
Yeah, but we used to do it with the...
Okay, but you'd have to know if that's how they did it. I don't know. So I would have said, presumably,
also,
it's talking about picking
blow,
it up.
When you blow the glass.
No, they're using a tool. You're using a blower, too. That's definitely
really?
A
clean. It's not that you put your...
No, then you'd melt your face. The glass is on a top of a burner and melted. It's so burning hot. If you put your face on that glass, you'll dissolve.
Well, it's interesting how
melted
the,
Alan.
I'm sorry. The Shulchan Aruch Rav doesn't exactly say only if done with a kli.
No.
He says specifically, in this instance, it's with a sakin. He says, Shalav sakin pator aval asar. So, generally, I'm assuming, from my experience, tell me if I'm wrong, a kli is a hemshech of the yad. Especially
in Hilchos Borer, that is correct. For no other area, not in general. No, it happens to be Hilchos Borer, you're right, for a side point. That's something specific to Hilchos Borer.
Is it possible that you can then, you could be over makom patush without a kli for something which requires your yad, but in this instance, you're doing it, what the ideal way to be metaken the kli would be bisaki.
What Jesse's suggesting is that the Shulchan Aruch Rav isn't really saying you have to do a kli. He's saying you have to do it in the normal way. So if you do something the normal way, and the normal way is with a kli, so of course you do a kli. But if you do it in a weird way, like your hand, what normal people do with a kli, that's just being weird. And since it's being weird, so it's only going to be Drabanan.
So you can't.
I hear that. I wouldn't have thought that. I can't say you're wrong. That he's not telling you any halacha that tikkun kli has to use a kli. He's just that I'm sorry, makav hadash means a kli. Jesse's suggesting Makkah Patish has to be done in a normal way. If you do it in a weird way, then you're Pater. I hear. I can't say you're wrong. I wouldn't have read it that way.
Lefichach, ein shovrim et acheres, ve'en korim et aniyar mutarim betiltu, kedei lishtamesh
ba'em. No, that's not even talking about the knife aspect. That's not talking about the kli aspect. That's just talking about the tearing or breaking something in order to make a kli.
Right. Yeah.
We finished. Those words are done. That's all we're going to see. That's the only mention we're going to see. Those two phrases, im chatich v'chsaken, and the next line, shalom v'chsaken pater v'alasa. Alex, what gemara do you have against the Rebbe? Did you have your hand up before?
I was going to say what Alan said.
Oh, great. Okay, that was the first one that I thought of, actually.
The window also.
What?
The window.
The window is...
No, the window is talking about that you're going to attach it...
with your hands. That's what I thought.
Well, you're putting it on with your hand, but that was Xer Drabana that you might attach it with the pins.
So the pins would be there.
The pins would be, or maybe the hammer that you need to bang in the pins. Yeah.
How many more?
I want to know if you think of any. Josh, can you think of any of the Makkah passages that we've learned that do not involve a kli? So you could disprove the Rebbe.
Make a hole in the shirt.
That's what Rubin said, but then you could just say that you use scissors to make holes in shirts. Use your head.
Wait,
is it
not using your hand? No,
Shulchan Aruch says you only violate Makkah Patish if you use the kli.
I guess, so for example, pulling out the thorns or something.
That right?
Yeah.
That we agree? Yeah. Any others? So I found a few others.
Don't say the bed. No, the bed, then you're not clean. I thought of that also. Well, that's not located if it's Makkah Patish or not.
True. According to Rashi, though, that it's Makkah Patish. You maybe use a hammer to do it. Could be. I don't know. So we don't have a proof. So I can't prove him wrong if I don't know.
Pillowcase?
Very good. Stuffing a pillow. Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah. Alex.
Very good. Alex, they're beating you to the fudge. Don't look at that buzzer skill, right? You know the answer. Just don't
the buzzer in case of the...
Yeah, put filling the pillow. Excellent.
In case of the worms that we... No?
Case of the worms?
The
black
Yeah.
Black worm.
Yeah,
with the rock.
Yeah.
What?
No, but that's specific. Not
Makkah
Patish.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's Bona.
The tying the sandal? But that's Achroni. That's not
right,
a Gemara.
Right, that's not a Gemara. That's not a Gemara.
You're okay.
Don't say it.
Did anyone see the next piece of Gemara after Shmuel?
Yeah.
Shmuel piece of Gemara. The first Gemara talked about Binyan Kolsha.
Where? In which page?
Kuf Bet Amud Bet.
Okay, where?
Right after
Amar
Shmuel HaMetzadeh Data Evan talks about if you have to attach, are you chay for bona only if you put cement or even if you just put the stones down? Did any of you see that yet?
No.
Okay, so read one more line in the Gemara. The next line of the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel.
What is atit?
Cement.
Cement?
Okay. Cemento. Hamet Sadi Data Evan, somebody who, what's the word, what does Tzad mean? Not hunting, but what's the Tzad of something?
Tzad?
Tzad, Tzadi Dalish.
No, Tzad.
The side of something. Side. You know, besides trapping, it's a malacha called Tzad is trapping. Besides that, the word Tzad also means the side. So Mitzadei means to put it in the right side, meaning to align it. So the next line of the Gemara that you're about to learn next week will be Amar Shmuel HaMetzadeh Et HaEven. You align, you take a stone, right, this is my big brick, and I have to put it in the right, make sure all the sides are lined up where they're supposed to be. Says Shmuel, that's a malacha of what?
Sad.
Is that Bona or is that...
It's Bona.
Oh, it's Bona, so forget it. Oh, okay, good. For whatever reason, I'm ahead of the game. I saw brought down, one of the Svarim brought down that the Rambam writes that what I just described to you, even though from the Gemara it sounds like it's Bona, The Rambam writes that that's considered building. That's considered makom patash.
Oh, okay, Rabbi.
So if that's true, if it's makom patash, we have another case.
Didn't say the Rambam.
That was one second that the mitzvah seven just means you're aligning it. You're not using a tool. I assume you're just using your hand to sort of. So that would be a gemara against.
Oh, the Rambam says
Mabis
Mursa. Yeah, Mabis Mursa.
Beautiful, beautiful. You see, Reuven, you see.
I saw, yeah.
You see, Gavaldi guys, Rambam said Mabis Mursa is
at the moment
of a patish. How do you pop a pimple?
Yeah,
there's no kli.
With your hand, there's no kli. Beautiful.
Also against the Shulchan Aruch.
Beautiful. I think we figured all them all out.
I think I have another one.
That's all. What we just discussed were the ones that I figured out.
The brick.
But I'm holding open to another one.
Yeah, but Rabbi, if you
making
like
a brick, that's a tender. Use an oven.
Rabbi, if you read Shulchan Aruch,
you don't put it in a fire.
Jesse, there's no problem.
Yeah, you're putting it. No, you put it in a kiln and an oven.
What do you
say?
What? If we read the Shulchan Aruch like Jesse, then there's no contradiction.
If we read the Shulchan Aruch Harav like Jesse, then everything I'm said, the whole point of the Shulchan Aruch Harav is right. I didn't make a point. Right, he's not saying anything.
No, my focus between Shulchan Aruch Harav and Rambam.
But who did Jesse
have? I'm presenting it as various different challenges to the Shulchan Aruch Harav. That's how I'm presenting it. As questions, as I'm presenting you, Shulchan Aruch Harav is a unique opinion that I didn't, that no one else really says, and I'm challenging it with these four or five challenges.
Jesse, how do you read it?
Jesse suggests is that, no, there's no, Rabbi Orlin, come on, there's no halacha that you actually need a tool or a kli to violate makom patash. It's just saying, when you do something weirdly with a shinui, not in the normal way, of course you're not violating daraisa. So if you cut, you know, with a kli, that's the normal way. So then you can do makom patash, and it's the normal way of doing it, so you're chayav. But if you do it with a please, it's the normal way to cut, right? You scissors when you cut things. You use scissors or knives, right? I have no problem with what you're saying.
I think there's a raya to that reading anyway, because the Gemara deals with things on a case by case basis, and in order to explain things, the Shita Seyam, Rashi and Tosas have to read into the Gemara on a case by case basis whether a malacha was completed or whether something is or whether it was just like a finishing touch. So we're. Shulchan Aruch Rav is dealing with one specific case.
You're talking about a case where the Gemara says the word chayev. We don't know what chayev is, right? We don't know if it's chayev for bona or whatever, right? Here, the Shulchan Aruch is talking. He's talking about. He's talking very specifically about makom patash. Tikkun kli means makom patash. Sorry, I didn't answer.
Next.
Doesn't the Rambam?
I'm saying that it's all that would not be smorzed, so it's not about the shiva. I mean, he says you make the passage right, but it's
then it, right, then he says it's bona, right? Or it says that's the raisa.
No, it's not going
to. Right, the Rambam says one thing if you do it in the right, in the professional way.
Right.
Oh, that was Makom Patash?
That was Makom Patash, right.
Oh, so that knocks off our thunder. The Rambam said that, Josh, the Rambam said Mabas Mursa is Makom Patash. Was that talking about the professional way? Or
professional way.
Oh, so maybe they use a needle.
It's not a regular.
Maybe they use a needle. I don't think, if you go to a dermatologist because you have a pimple, I don't think he's going to pop your pimple. You don't have to pay $50, you know, $175 for that.
They're making a
no, but it wasn't even, it was bone there. It wasn't even.
No, the Rambam said it's not bone. The other, all everyone else said bone, and for some reason we pointed out.
How is it even makom patash?
You're putting the finishing touch on, I don't know, that was last semester. I think the Rambam, the way we explain the Rambam is that it's either all or nothing, right? It's all or nothing. The way we explain the Rambam is that if you do it in a professional way, you're finishing things on the opening or whatever it was. Okay, that's all. I'm finished with the Shulchan Aruch Harav. I just wanted to show you this, what in general is a unique opinion, that makom patash is only with a kli, and a number of gemaras or suggestions that might reject it. If you read it like Jesse, then everything I said for the past 10 minutes doesn't apply.
Passageway.
What?
So
the problem with makom patash is you made a passageway for air to go in and out.
Right.
So
because, and that was on purpose, but that's bonus.
No, it doesn't say bonus. It says explicitly makom patash. Why would the Rambam call it? Okay, fine. Next point. The next point, you saw the Gemara today about stuffing pillows?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, the words were a little hard. This is the Gemara Daf Mem Ches.
Yeah,
Do you want to go? Let's open up the Gemara, please. Let's open up your Gemaras. Shabbat Memchas Amar Aleph. By the two, the bottom two, 10 lines from the bottom, 12 lines from the bottom.
Kamash Malan.
Right after Kamash Malan, yeah. Right after Kamash Malan, there are two dots. Mem Ches Amar Aleph. Who saw this? Who wants to read this?
Me.
Yossi.
You guys ready?
No. Ready or wrong.
Rav Chisda Hashare the Hadore Odia Lebe Sida Beshafta. Okay, so Rav Chisda says it's permitted to fill up.
What's La Ahadure?
To return.
Hadar is to return. It's a very important word. We have a lot of different ways of writing it, you know, prefixes and suffixes. But Hadar is to return.
Okay. To return feathers to a pillowcase. Beshafta on Shabbat.
Feathers or stuffing, whatever it is.
Stuffing, yeah. On Shabbat.
Okay, period. So, stop there. Period, yeah. So what's clear? What does he permit?
He permits putting back in stuffing into...
Right, so putting back in already tells you something.
Yeah.
What does it tell you?
That it was in and it came out and you put it in back.
Yeah. Right. Okay, then the Gemara will be more explicit. Go ahead.
So, Etivei, we bring a contradiction
from a
Braita.
Great.
Rav Hanan Bar Chisda, the Rav Chisda. So, is that his son against him?
Doesn't that interesting? But, Daddy, doesn't the Braita say?
Shh, whatever.
By the way, the halacha is that in Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em, if you see your father doing something wrong, then you're not allowed to say, "Daddy, you're not allowed to do that. Yeah. Daddy, don't do that. Daddy,
you're
that's
supposed
awesome.
To write it up for
the no, yeah, maybe.
Say, "Daddy, didn't you teach me that?" Or doesn't the halacha state that?
Yeah. So
it's beautiful.
Rav Bar Chisda, the Rav Chisda, Matirin Beit HaSavar B'Shabbat.
HaTzavar.
Beit HaSavar B'Shabbat. It's
you're in the middle of it. You read just half a
about untying the Braita brings up untying.
How do you know the word matir means to untie?
Yeah.
How do you know the word matir means untie?
Oh, because mutar.
What does mutar mean?
Permissible.
When we say, "Oh, that's mutar," "Oh, that's usher," what do you think? Do you know what the word usher means?
Tied up.
No, it's closed. No.
The word usher literally means tied up. We, Jews, contemporary times, use the word usher to mean it's prohibited, it's usher to do. That just means, the word itself means it's tied up. The word mutter means it's
untied.
Yeah. That's really what the word means. We use it to refer to being sent as permitted. Where do we say it in davening? Matir asurim. What is matir asurim?
Our sins are allowed.
Right, somebody who is astur literally means, doesn't mean he's prohibited, means he's a prisoner. Why is he a prisoner? Because he's tied up. So, Beit HaAsurim is what does the Torah say the word Beit HaAsurim? Or that's just the rabbinic word? Beit HaAsurim is a word for jail. It's the Beit, the house of the people who are tied up. Dungeon, jail, whatever it is. Yeah, so Matirim, and my friends, if you turn to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, just keep your finger there, turn to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, please. Third to last skinny line. I mean, Gimel Amud Aleph, third to last skinny line. What malachas do you see on the third to last skinny line of the famous Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph?
A kosher.
What's kosher?
To tie.
Tying a knot. And what's the next one? Matir. What's Matir? Untying, right. The sister malacha. brother sister malacha. Right. Okay, so now back to
us. So, you can untie the neck of a garment.
Good.
On Shabbat. But you can't make an opening.
Right, like we discussed.
So I guess that's like an unrelated issue.
That's not to do with our issue. That's just part of the brisa.
Yeah. But then the part that relates to us, ve'en notmin et hamochin, and we can't put stuffing.
Moch is cotton.
A cotton?
Why is that word important? I'll tell you why. Because what was the earliest contraceptive? So, the Gemara talks about the following situation. Women who have relations, bimoch, with cotton. What do you think that means?
Cotton?
Doesn't mean that they get married to a cotton. What does it mean that they have relations
like
with cotton?
That's so cute.
Close.
Instead of a cotton,
a virgin.
Somewhat different. It was more like a diaphragm than anything else. Meaning, they stuff their body with cotton so that when the zera enters their body, it doesn't go up the up into the uterus to get to the fallopian tubes, but it's absorbed by the cotton that's there. That's the earliest type of diaphragm.
That contraception was an usser.
It is, and that's what the Gemara. That's the source of the Gemara, because there the Gemara says that for certain sick people, gimel nashem misham shos b'mor. Three women who are in danger of getting pregnant. Whatever situation, should be Misham Shos B'moch. And that's where the whole sugya of birth control is based on, that Gemara. So the word moch, now you're never, ever, for the rest of your life, going to forget the word moch.
Moch, you're allowed
cotton?
Not allowed.
Moch means cotton. Right, so for somebody who's in danger of getting...
you can't have a child.
If somebody's in danger, if they have a baby, it will be dangerous to their health. So that such a one would be permitted to use contraceptives. Now there's a big machlokas. Condom is a different issue. Condom is not an
only
issue.
Only a woman can use a condom.
But the halakhically there are very significant differences.
Right.
Only a woman could use a contraception and not a man.
That is correct. There are times in halakha when you're obligated to use birth control, like the Gemara says. It's going to endanger the woman.
Only for that? Or money
also?
That's
what it's a mitzvah. What?
That's why they say here.
What?
In Wayu, with money, if he doesn't make enough money to...
That's not what they say here in Wayu. That's what somebody told you in Wayu, but that's not what most of the Rabbanim say in Wayu.
But a lot of people follow that.
That is true.
But it's specific case for these reasons.
There are, in general, the post-Kun Wayu happen to be not so lenient in this. I mean, when we talk about birth control, there are really two questions. There are a number of questions.
If birth control is the...
let's talk about the pill.
The advised way to do it? I'm saying the pill is the advised way.
The pill is always the advised way to do it, because the pill doesn't get into a problem of shichvat zera levatala, of letting the seed go. You know, the seed's going where it's supposed to go. But there's some other thing that she's doing that just prevents it from becoming implanted and creating a viable...
Yeah, but then they know it's not going to do what it's
correct. But it's not Shechat Zer Levatala. It will be, not fulfilling the mitzvah taseh doraita of having children. That's always something that... you have a mitzvah to put on tefillin in the morning, you have a mitzvah to say brikat hamazon after you eat lunch, you have a mitzvah to have, after you're married, to have children. So there are a number of issues. One issue is the Shechat Zer Levatala issue, which... basically puts a condom out of the question. The question that was asked
is... how is the condom different from this...
diaphragm? The answer is that a condom is... the zera is not even entering the woman. It's not even a way of derech bia. As opposed to a diaphragm, where Moshe Feinstein says the bia happened and the zera entered the woman in the proper way, there's just a... blockage. There's a dam, a blockage that just prevents it from going up the river into her uterus and up into the fallopian tubes. That's one issue. There's a separate issue which I mentioned is that there's a mitzvah that's safe in the Torah when a person gets married to have children, and the way the Rambam says it is every month when a woman is able to be with her husband, to have children. So now, in our times, not just in our times, different times, specifically in our times, where we often don't go, we often do not earn livings till we're 27 years old, because we go to this graduate school, and this graduate school, and this program, and that program, and even though our bodies are designed to bear children when we're, I don't know, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, we don't end up, you know, it's not convenient for us, especially because we live in, and primarily because we live in a society where it's not the cool thing to have children before you're, I don't know, 30 or 32. So, okay, we're a little bit more traditional, so we're ready to have children when we're 27. So that's when we had to get into very challenging issues. These obviously are complicated halachas, very important halachas, and every single situation has to be analyzed specifically with a rav before a person gets married, whichever rav the person feels comfortable with, but it has to be a specific shaila for that couple. There are some cases where it is the right thing to do, 100%. Sometimes it does matter who you ask. Everybody agrees to the principles, but in terms of the applications, it sometimes does matter who you ask. The value of having children is certainly a very fundamental Jewish value. Sometimes, you know, it's a little bit easier like this, a little bit easier like this. You know, sometimes that comes from a Western, you know, we live in a very Westernized community. So, it, even if we are strong with our mitzvahs and everything, still there's a lot of, you know, influences, that's the word, that comes into our thought processes of what we consider normal, what we consider like, you know, in our community, no one could ever think of, you know, right, a guy and a girl, unless they're, you know, Persian and very wealthy. You know, a 19-year-old guy getting married, or whatever, very wealthy family. Other than a very wealthy family, very rarely you're ever going to find a 19-year-old guy get married, or a 20-year-old guy get married to an 18 or 19-year-old girl, or a 20-year-old girl.
Outside of the Haredi community?
Even in the Haredi community, you don't have it. Hasidic community, you do?
That's right. Man.
And, you know what else you do?
Amish people.
No?
Arabs.
Go to the south. The Bible Belt.
The Negev?
Kentucky.
You get married young?
Yeah, if you're not going to college, you start working right after high school.
Like the Mormons?
And if you're a religious guy, so they don't do premarital sex either.
Right.
And they go to work when they're 19 years old, so... Nothing with Mormons. This is, I'm saying, a lot of, in the South, you have this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not 18, 19, but it could be 20, certainly 21.
Mexico,
in New York City, we're cool, and we're cosmopolitan and sophisticated, so no one would have a brain, whatever. Get married before they're 32 years old and are making $500,000 a year. But I'm saying another part. So a lot has to do with expectations. If you're going to go to college, and after college you're going to go to graduate school, and after graduate school you have to get a postdoc, a PhD, and after your PhD you have to get a postdoc,
and
then you're going to first start.
You pass away.
All right, and your weddings cost $50,000. So all of a sudden, you know, things.
You want to postpone that?
Okay, so these are hard questions. There's a lot that goes into them. Halacha l'maisa, speak to Rav when you get married, and there are a lot of different. It depends on situations. It depends on just people shouldn't take it. You know, just that.
It is
a significant thing. It is a very significant issue that should be thought about. That's all. Anyway, that's what the Ramach is. Okay, so I just figured that would be a good way to remember the word Moch. You'll never forget the word Moch. Moch means cotton. So, could you use cotton? Cotton is very versatile. You could use it for contraception, and you could use it to stuff pillows. So, here the Brisa says, you don't put the moch into the pillow and onto the keset. Is just a fancier way. Another way to say pillow. I don't know.
Rabbi Hillman said it's a pillow seat.
Yeah, it's like a seat.
Oh, like a futon or one of those.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's a keset. Keset, no?
Oh, yeah? I don't know that.
The
Fine, Yontif, you can't do it, and certainly.
Certainly not on Shabbat.
Okay, so this Braisa was a challenge to his father. Why? Because his father said you're allowed to return the Ma'och to the pillows, and here it says.
Over here it says you can't.
Right, so answers the Gemara.
No kasha.
No kasha.
Ah, bachart.
Go ahead, Yossi.
Yeah, it's not a no kasha. It's not a kasha. Ha bechadati, ha be'atiki.
Ha bechadati, ha be'atiki. You want to say that again?
One is
read it again.
Ha bechadati, ha be'atiki. So one is talking about what's it called? The new one, or one is talking about the old one?
How do you know that chadati means new?
Chadash.
Because chadash.
Yaniv, how do you know that chadati means new?
Because the taf and chin are for the shin.
The
taf and chin are interchangeable. Great. Okay. Atiki from the word atik. Atik is even
minor. Atika.
Ancient. Here, atika. How do you say antiquities?
Itikim.
Antiquidades.
Antiquidades. I forgot the word.
I wonder if they're related.
Okay.
For sure. Everything comes from the Torah.
Everything comes from the Torah.
Fine. So, except what do you see from this Gemara? You see a very important idea. You see a very important idea here that when you take a new pillow cover and stuff it for the first time. So that would be stuffing. Now, I don't think it means if you have a linen, you know, like in our linen closets, we have pillowcases. I don't think anyone's going to say that if you put a pillow in a pillowcase for the first time, you got a new, your wife goes to Target or IKEA or whatever. Macy's on Friday on the way home from work and she buys a new set of linen. You come on Friday night and after dinner you want to go to sleep, you take a pillow and put it in the new pillowcase. I don't think that's what we're
that's
talking
about. That's not like permanent.
The pillow's already made.
Right. Yeah. The pillow's made, the pillowcase is made, they're all finished. Now you're just using them, you're not right. Finishing them. Here we're talking about just the...
Making them.
Because what are you doing when you put the... what are you putting when you...
Makabipatish.
So, based on this...
So the question is, whether there's makabipatish in old items...
It's a good question.
Is that
right.
A question of the Gemara
here? That's what it's not a question.
First time.
Here, I don't think it's a function of old or new. It's a function of if it was never stuffed before, you made it into a kli.
Yeah.
If it's stuffed and some stuffing came out,
and you restuff it as well.
And you restuff it, that's a good question.
So then by the Beit HaMikdash, when Tosfot, whenever he says that they used to smooth out the kelim, that was already a kli over there.
But it was never used. It was never like in its full functioning form of a kli. You're right. It was usable. It holds liquid, but it's not a cup. It's not a nice silver cup that you bring to your Shabbos table.
And it hasn't been used yet.
Bugs on it.
And Tosfot holds it hasn't been used yet.
I assume that was what happened in the Mishkan, right? They had kalim, but
I thought they were talking about a kli that got a dent in it.
We're going to learn about that next week. You're going to be right, but that's not, I don't think what Tosfos was talking about. You're going to be right. Okay, so what do we see, some applications of this halacha that you make a, you take something that's almost finished and you, first practical application I want to talk about is the following. Let's say you have a book. If you're a publisher, what's the last thing you do as you publish the book? The last step in the publication process. You do, obviously, all the text. That's one of the first things. Then you do the binding. And then you have all the pages. And then you cut the pages apart. I don't know how they make it, but the pages have to be cut apart or have to make sure that the pages are cut apart. If you get a book, and in the book, I'm not talking about the glue fell on pages. I'm not talking about glue. That's something that's happened in some binding. Some glue drips from the binding of a book and onto some pages and you have to sort of peel them apart. There the book was finished and glue fell on it. I'm talking about when you get two pages that are still sort of, the paper is still attached, they haven't been sliced. So there, that's going to be putting that finishing touch on a kli, to make it a kli, to make it, that's the last step that the publisher would do, and that would be makabipatish. Daraisa, perhaps.
Is this talked about by the Acharonim?
Yes, the Mishnah Berurah in his Mishnah Berurah, right? You have the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, and then the Mishnah Berurah has his commentary. Mishnah Berurah, when he wants to talk about something more in depth, he has the Beir Halacha. Those are like mini essays or like paragraphs, as opposed to just a line by line commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So in that Beir Halacha, he makes this point.
Does he say in the Mishnah Berurah to look at the Beir Halacha?
Once in a blue moon, he'll say, I don't want to talk about this at length. In this part, go to the Beir Halacha, I discussed it. Yeah. So the Beir Halacha says this point. He says that when you tear off that edge of the pages, if you have such a book that has some attached pages, that will be Makom Patish, because that's the final step that a publisher does when he puts out a book. One more case that you saw
does
on the Maimon.
Does he actually use that word? Because that's what the publisher does?
Yes, he does. He doesn't talk about the publisher, he talks about the binders. Yeah. It's known that the derech of Ogde, the people who are Ogeid Svarim, who bind the books, to check and to make sure that all the pages are cut.
What if the custom would have been to sell the books like that so that each customer would...
You're asking a great question. What happens if there's a kind of makeh, it's a kli that you sell in a certain sense so that the consumer could do something right after that?
So just like the suit.
So do we look at it as how the customer...
We talked about that 2 days ago.
With the suit?
No, with the...
Checkers.
Yeah.
With what?
Yeah, the checker.
The what?
The checkers that are attached, the toy pieces.
La pieza es un juego que viene así pegadita y se rompe. La pieza es un juego que viene así como pegadita y se rompen así.
Oh. Maybe
yes, you understood.
Huh? Maybe I wasn't here.
We're also going to have this question. What do you think about the following?
Understood.
What do you think about the following?
What?
Think about Patech Beit HaTzavar. What do you think about peeling off the plastic tabs on a Band-Aid? What are you doing? You're making it from non-usable to usable, right? Just like Patech Beit HaTzavar.
It's already done, right? It's different. It's
what's
it? You're making it. The teacher, you're making it.
No, you're not.
Yeah. No, but like you need to put it like that.
As opposed to a Band-Aid.
That it's already made.
So what's that plastic thing there for?
To cover it, to protect it.
That's exactly what... Beautiful. Yeah. David said everything perfectly. Originally, I think there might have been two versions in the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata. The first version, I think, I'm not sure where that it is. I had it written down that it was from there, and then I looked at it and find it. But at one point, I think there's some post who felt that you can't peel off the plastic tabs that cover over the sticky part of the Band-Aid, because you're making a kli, you're making a Band-Aid, right? You're making a Band-Aid usable. Just like Patech Beit HaTzavar, just like you're making a kli, and then in the later version, Rosh Shlomo Zalman said exactly what you said. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach said exactly what David said, that no, the Band-Aid is fully made. The manufacturer covers over the sticky part just so it stays sticky, so it doesn't get dirty. But the Band-Aid is completely made already. But you're pulling it off, you're not making anything, you're not finishing anything, it was already finished. They just put something to keep the glue on, and you remove that.
But
just
it's not
taking
usable,
off a cover.
It's usable.
Right, but that didn't make the clear. It's like it's not usable because it's in a bag. So can I open the bag? Opening the bag is not makom patish.
So
you made it usable. No, you made it accessible.
You have
not
a brand
usable.
New shirt, and you want to take the pins out and all the tags off and everything.
Great. So we're going to talk about removing tags in 4 days. That's going to be this discussion, right? Moving the tags is a great example of makom patish. It's the finishing touch on making something usable, from not usable to usable. Right? Because most
still
people
usable
don't...
If you
for example...
No, one, no, but people don't do it.
It's like
this,
the thorns, no?
What?
It's like the... How do you call it?
Yeah. No, like we were talking about like dry cleaning tags. Like
right. So that we're going to have to talk about in 4 days. If you have a shayla on Friday afternoon, call me. I'll answer you. Otherwise, you'll wait for next week.
Well, Friday afternoon is not a problem.
That is correct. You say if you only remember on Shabbos, if you have a problem on Shabbos, it's knocking my door.
Then I can't call you.
Stay for Shabbos, knocking my door. Now I want to get to the main point of today. The main point of today. One more case, which was the Gemara in Beitza that you had in your source sheets. You saw the case of putting the shingles or the tiles into the oven.
Yeah.
Right. Why do you put it into the oven?
To take back your house so you can cook your food. Or is that also a different case?
The mic is strong.
On the top that we heat up the things to take back
to the place. To harden it. What? It's strong.
To harden it, right, to harden it. You have these tiles that you're going to use, I don't know, for roofing or for your floor.
Oh, okay.
And you put it into an oven. What do we call an oven to harden things?
Kira?
A kiln, K-I-L-N in English.
I know.
I'm just talking in English. In English, it's a special furnace where you harden ceramic pottery items in a kiln.
Yeah,
fine, kiln. When you were little, you might have gone to these places.
Yeah,
where
they had one in my exam.
In high school, you had one?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's another case where you're finishing up the tile. What I want to get to is the main point is in the next 13 minutes is the following sugya. You saw, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch you have in Source Number in Mar Makom and Shulchan Aruch 3. After Shulchan Aruch Rav. Shule. We're going to talk about, I didn't want to put the word. The bottom of page 2. Bottom of page 2 is not talking about Makom v'Patrish. The bottom of page 2, it's a quote from the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Zayin, which is the halachas of tying. And there it says that if the shoelaces of your shoe come out, then you could put them back into the holes as long as some whatever details in Hilchas tying and some other
wide enough
details. One thing
that's
no, it is not talking about Makom v'Patrish. It's talking about kosher in there. And it's saying that if they came out, you could put them back in.
If it's not permanent.
If there's no...
No, Shulchan Aruch did not say that, David.
What do you say?
You're not allowed to tie it, because you're not allowed to tie knots. Now that tie, there, I guess in their shoelaces, there are some ways to tie the shoestring onto the shoe.
In total,
attach the shoelace to the shoe.
No, but it's not about shoe. Links. Ritzuot?
Ritzuot
like
or
straps.
Not? Okay,
like,
straps.
Like a sandal?
Fine. So you can't, if the sandal straps come out, you can't tie them onto your, you could return them, slip them back in, you can't tie them and attach them to the shoe.
Why not?
Because it's tying.
So why can we tie on Shabbat?
That's not talked about here. I'll answer you. That the answer is because you're not. That's not called a knot. That's a bow that we make, one over one, and then two things that you pull through. Is a bow that's not called a knot on Shabbat. A knot has to be a double knot. Called a knot on Shabbat. What he says is that make sure you don't tie it on, that means in a way that will be permanent. We'll stay there. There's one interesting thing about this line of the Shulchan Aruch. What was the first word of the Shulchan Aruch? It's a hard word, I apologize. Nishmatu. Nishmatu means they slipped out. So, if it slipped out, you're allowed to return it. Could anyone make a diuk in that?
If you took it out, you can.
Fine, I hear that.
They were never there.
You. If they were never there, you're not allowed to place it there.
You're
otherwise, I would just, it should just say... You're allowed to put a ritzua in a sandal.
So it's like
hadura.
Exactly. Even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it explicitly, and by the way, I'll have you know that the Shulchan Aruch is pretty much a quote from the Yerushalmi. If you want to make a note, that Shulchan Aruch is based on the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says if your straps fall out, you're allowed to put them back in. So. From that, Yerushalmi and the Shulchan Aruch is that if they were never there, you're not allowed to put them in. Why not?
Because you're making the cleats.
What are you making?
The shoe.
Halacha l'maisa, gentlemen. You buy a new shoe, and you didn't get a chance to put in the laces before Shabbos. Putting in the laces is going to be making your shoe from a non-finished shoe to a fully usable finished shoe. And it'll be aser, maybe even daraisa, perhaps, to put the laces in a shoe on Shabbos.
Let's say if it was inside the shoe once upon a time, and then like you haven't worn the shoes for like 5 years, and you want the laces back inside.
Excellent question. The answer is that once the laces came out, it is once again no longer a usable shoe. And to now put in shoelaces anew on this old shoe, you're now once again making it into a usable shoe. And therefore, it will also be Makom v'Patrish, perhaps Daraisa.
Rabbi, but when Tosfot talk about that in Memchet, he's talking about like if it's going to be tie or it's not going to be tie. it's going to be loose or not.
Let's talk about Tozer Mem Chet in one minute, because that's the next step. Hold on. We'll talk about that.
That's talking about what David was saying, about if you're doing something permanent in Shabbat.
Yeah, but that, just hold that for a minute, because we'll talk about that in a minute. Well, I want to tell you some halacha l'maaseh. You saw, I gave you the quote. This is the top of, where is it? The Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata?
Yeah.
The bottom of page, did I give it to you?
No, yeah, I know.
Yeah, the bottom, the middle of page 2. Middle of page 3.
Yeah.
So he says that there, what's the whole problem with putting a new shoelace in a shoe? The problem is that you're putting it there with a sense of permanence. What does it mean that you're finishing the kli? Until now, you had a non-wearable shoe. Now, I'm making a wearable shoe.
It's a good belt.
But, before we talk about belts, we'll talk about belts in a minute. But if you put the laces in a funny way,
where you'll have to take it out again.
Well, you're never going to be able to leave it there, so you're not really finishing the kli. You're not finishing your shoe. Because you can't leave the belt. Well, how do you put it? Let's say halach l'maaseh, you have a new pair of shoes, or your old pair of shoes breaks, and now you just go to you have a new pair of shoes in the box. You have to lace them. You can't lace it on Shabbos. What are you going to do on Shabbos afternoon if your first pair of the heel came off?
Wear sandals.
You can put another shoelace that goes with another shoe, a different color.
Exactly. You could put another color shoelace in. Mm-hmm. Or, let's say there are 4 eyelets on each side, 8 eyelets.
You skip one or two.
You start at 3 and 4. Instead of doing 1, 2, 3, 4. You do it in a way that you will definitely not leave it like that. Why? Because that's obviously not finishing it, because you would never leave it like this.
Yeah,
you would never use a shoe like this.
Use different color shoelaces.
You're right. That would be a problem.
Yeah, but I'm not a prune guy.
You're right. If it's the style in Harlem and you live in, Lakewood, Borough Park, then you're okay. If you're a cool guy and you come. If you're like a cool guy and you go to some like funky shul where everyone's wearing like their
Karlbach.
You go to the Karlbach, whatever it is, and everyone has their funky shoelace colors with their not matching shoes, that would be a problem. This is the
Raisa. You have to say your name?
The Gemara says in the case of the pillow that you can return the feathers.
Oh, very good.
They're going to be permanent. So why here is a problem permanent?
Did everyone hear Ruvain's question? David, you heard Ruvain's question?
No.
Say your question. Fabulous question.
In the Gemara of the pillow, we can return the stuffing into the pillow, even though that's going to stay like that. It's going to be permanent. So why here in the case of the shoes we have a problem of be permanent, it's a suit. It's not gonna be permanent if I'm gonna tie it in a way that I'm gonna change it after Shabbat or immediately after, it's gonna be mutar. So
probably if it came out once, it can come out twice. No? In the pillow?
It's the same thing about shoe. Does anyone have an answer to Ruvain's question?
Ruvain's
asking a fabulous question. I don't have an answer, and I'd love for somebody
can
to answer.
Can it be a different halacha like tying in the seas?
No.
No, tying is going to be a permanent knot. Here we're just, there's no knot here. I'm just putting it through the eyelets in a way that's going to, I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to Ruvain's question. How come Poskim say that the Gemara is explicitly just returning the cotton is okay if the cotton's already there once, but if it comes and slips out of a shoe and it goes back in?
You can use a pillow without that thing that fell.
Yeah,
it's usable. It's still usable. A little bit of cutting out. It doesn't matter.
Maybe when it said atiki, meant a little bit of stuff came out, but not all of it.
But yeah, but then the first part of that gemara wouldn't make any sense because it's not. It wouldn't be makeh bepatish.
You're just adding a little bit. If that's what we're dealing with, then it would. Probably not.
Why would it be metakan?
No, new means it's empty and you put stuff in. Atiki means it had some stuff fill out. It has like 30% left and 70% fill out. You're just putting in the extra 70%. That's
pretty much it. We're assuming that.
It was already made, and what happened? It all fell out or part of it fell out?
I think part of it. I mean,
say part of it, that's okay.
But it can't be all of it.
Why are we?
Because the only explanation that we have is that it never filled. It could be filled.
So you're saying, what happens if all of it falls out from the pillow?
It can be, yeah. It can be both options. I don't know.
That's going to be the question. The only answer I have to you is to be forced to learn a TK to be that part of the fill-out.
Could you perhaps say that with Joseph? Just thinking about how it works, if a pillow is turned over, it was already made that Shabbos, it was already functional, it falls over, it can easily fall out. A shoelace would only be completely unlaced if you actively took it out.
I don't know. It depends on the kind of shoe.
It's not going to be completely
pillow. I've never had a pillow. I mean, my pillows are sealed. They don't have, like, openings or seams. Most of the time, you don't have stuff popping out of pillows.
But if it was just stuffing without, like, now you have, like, a seal.
Right, that's true. You just had feathers,
you rolled
right.
over and it fell out. Maybe that could be, it was already made, and then you're just putting
it
back.
I don't know. I hear you. Ruben, I think it's a great question. I don't have an answer for that. Okay, let's finish off with one halacha lamaisa. I said this in a shiur to women, and they were blown away. Based on this halacha, Monday night, I give a women's shiur. So I did it. So what halachas did I do? Makabu Katish. Why? Because it's easier for me, because I don't have to prepare another shiur. So in Makabu Katish shiur to the women, I told them the next halacha, based on Tosas that you saw today. Tosas says...
Yeah.
Tosas says that this idea of... Where's the Tosas? Right, Tosas says that if the string from the outfit comes out, talks about the string of an outfit. And based on this, the halacha is, my friends, if you have a... Let's say you have a... With men's clothing, it doesn't apply. Because even if I wear a belt, this belt I take out when I hang up my pants, right? And then sometimes they put in the same belt, sometimes they put in a different belt. But sometimes with women's clothes, let's say they have like a sweater or some kind of like shirt
with
a matching, perfectly matching the same fabric, same color belt that attaches specifically with that outfit. And it even has loops, you know, those little tiny loops on the side.
Yeah. So if there's a belt that's designated for a certain dress, you're not allowed to do it.
Usher to put that in on Shabbos if your intention is to leave it there. Correct. Where does it apply to men's coats, men's clothing? I don't have a trench coat, like a Shabbos coat. It has those two loops on the side.
Yeah.
And a belt that matches, same fabric, same color.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you put that belt in, how long do you plan to leave it there?
Forever.
Exactly. That's Makkah B'Patish.
Chassidim also.
So if it, what?
Chassidim.
They put it on three times a day.
They
take it out.
They
don't leave it there.
So
that's
it there.
No,
the string.
Not
the thing that...
in there, Bekesh. Okay, that could be also, yeah. Yeah.
The thick one. It's already sewed in the back. It's like sewed into the...
Some are. So if it's sewed, you're fine.
Okay.
But if you're going to attach it and slip it through for the first time, so that's real Makkah B'Patish. So if your belt falls out on Shabbos, you can't put it back. So if it falls out in an Erev, okay, just carry it home. Falls out outside, I don't know if you can even carry it home.
What happens if that happens, a real case, that happened to you, there's no Erev?
You can wrap it around yourself and tie it.
No, can you put it and say, okay, I'm going to take it out in a few minutes?
Yes. Oh, I mean, even though it matches, you might wear it, I'm not sure. You could definitely, that I have to check, but you could definitely put it around yourself and just tie it, not through the loops, not attach it anyway, just... I don't know, you're not putting it through the loops. I think that would be okay. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week on Sunday, we're going to talk about bottle caps. That's the goal. We're finished with Maimon Kodesh number 3. Maimon number 4, we're going to start on Sunday. We'll talk about bottle caps.
Guys, please calm. Don't think we're not.
Be'ezrat Hashem.
I'm not going to say
anything. You. You know how to do on Sunday?
Yossi's starting work on Monday.
Oh, holy shaman,
I'm gonna get married now.